Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Hello, Knife Junkies, and welcome to the Midweek Knife Junkie Podcast, episode number 91. I'm Jim Person.
And I'm Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco. Welcome to the show.
The Knife Junkie Podcast is the place for knife newbies like myself and knife junkies like you to learn all about knives and knife collecting. The Midweek Show is where we get a chance to take a look at some of the knife stories in the news with our Knife Life News segment. Bob will also have a chance to provide an update on his collection, including some news about the Bastinelli Creations Diagnostic Neck Knife. Can we get a longer title? As well as the Cold Steel XL Luzon, I think is how you pronounce it. We've got a listener line call we want to hear and have a chance to discuss. And if time permitting, we'll get to some of the knife shows from our friends at knifemagazine.com. So, Bob, a full show again, midweek. Never seems to be a lack of stuff to talk about in the knife world.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, something that didn't quite make it onto your list, there's more to talk about.
I know. Well, I was saving that.
Oh, snap. You know, Jim, I've been trying to sell three knives for a while, and I arrived at the three I wanted to get rid of, and it's three that I find relatively valuable because they're cool knives, and they're great when I have them in hand, but I never carry them, so that was kind of a no-brainer. So I put them up on Blade Forums in one posting, and someone came back to me.
One lot.
Yes, exactly. One lot, like at an auction, and someone came back to me and said, I'd like to buy them all for this price. And, you know, when I took into account that they'd all be going to the same place, so it was reduced shipping by about $20, it worked out great. Everyone got a deal, and I was able to unload my Kaiser Compadre, this big, beautiful 2.25-inch recurve Bowie, and the Wee 609, this big, kind of goofy-looking purple space Saks, if you will. And then my old CRKT Liang Ma eraser. Such a cool and beautiful knife, but just one I never carry anymore. So got rid of them. I'm moving some things around. I want to get a Spartan. I want to get a Spartan Harzy folder. So they don't come for free, I'm seeing.
So is that Spartan Harzy folder a before blade or during blade?
An interesting question you raise, actually, because when we were talking to Stasa 23 on the show, we were talking about going to Blade and how he said, right about now, you start seeing people selling off their knives to save up for Blade. This will be my first year, your first year, the Knife Junkie first year at Blade Show. And, you know, I hadn't really taken that into account. I've been thinking about, you know, buying hotel, buying food and flight and all of that and logistics and what we're going to do when we're there. But I hadn't thought about the actual knife buying part, and you can't go and not get one. So, you raise an interesting point. Maybe
maybe some more knife lots going up by the knife junkie.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I need to take a more stern look at what I carry and what I want. Or maybe I just slow down and remain satisfied with what I have.
Well, you raise an interesting criteria. You know, as your collection evolves, you know, you're buying stuff because you liked it, and now it's kind of gotten to where it's more about what you want to be able to carry as opposed to just having it in the knife drawer or on the shelf or whatever to look at. You want to be able to carry it and use it. So that's your criteria now.
Yeah. I mean, they're all I can carry all of them, But you're right. At the end of the day, there are certain things that I'm just going to keep going back for. So why not collect to that strength and have my money, right. You know, until I open up the DeMarco Knife Museum and I have to get one of each, you know, like Noah, or I guess he had two of each. That sounds even better. I'll just kind of start culling and getting some better stuff.
Well, we'll give you 4 or 5 years before we open up the museum.
And thank you. And I do have to clarify by saying better stuff. I mean, it's better inherently if I'm using it and carrying it than if I'm not. I'm not talking about quality. Everything I sold to this gentleman is super high quality.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what you were saying too about carrying it, it's the same thing. It's not that it's not a great knife, not that you don't love it, but taste evolve, taste change. So just the things you naturally gravitate to is what you're wanting to carry in your pocket. Your right front pocket, your left front pocket, your waistband, your neck knife. So
there you go.
You've got enough choices.
Right. There are good odds there will, you know, it will get carried at some point.
So anyway, Bob sells off some knives. We'll see what he replaces it with and how quickly.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. It's time now for the latest knife life news.
The latest two releases from Civivi look quite interesting to me. The first one has an interesting name, Jim, and I'm not exactly sure how they're pronouncing it, but it looks like Asticus to me. Asticus, kind of an interesting name. It sounds like it could either be from, you know, Roman times or something else. Asticus. Anyway, it's a new flipper from Civivi, and it is beautiful. I love the way it looks. It's got it. It's a drop point, and it's got a nice hollow ground blade with a long swedge on top, and a nice finger choil. But that is a 3.8-inch blade. You know, I like the longer blades. And this is the biggest thing Civivi has done. You know, Wee has done a lot of large knives, but this is the first thing from them that's large. It's an in-house design, D2 steel, flipper only, ball bearing, you know, the usual, I got to say, G10 insert and multiple colors. The cool thing about the insert is that it's letterboxed by the stainless steel frame behind it. So the frame sits slightly proud, if you will, and it looks really beautiful. And I know just from holding other knives that have that sort of letterbox effect with a handle scale, it is very comfortable. It kind of rounds out the knife without thickening it and having to contour it. So you get a nice visual effect. You get a nice ergonomic effect. So got to say, just for where my tastes are going, I haven't really gotten any Civivis, even though I find them very attractive, and I know that they're awesome knives. This one is kind of looking like it's up my alley, so this might be something I go for. It's a $65 knife, which is another reason for me to go for it, and they are going to do a sort of upscale version of it, but it's only kind of slightly upscale. They're going to have Damascus instead of D2, and they're going to have carbon fiber overlaid G10 scales, kind of a la Spyderco, and that one will be $90. The other release from Civivi is one that we saw here a few months back, Jim. In that stage, it was still a prototype and it was unnamed, but it's a small, actually tiny is how they describe it, fixed blade EDC meant for pocket wear or neck carry by Alessandro De Santis. And it was this little Kiridashi looking thing, you might remember, 9CR18 MOV with a bottle opener on the spine. Well, they named it and it's now called the Kiri-EDC, like Kiridashi, because it's a Kiridashi-shaped blade, but instead it's the Kiri-EDC. Cute. Doesn't exactly roll off my tongue, but neither does Asticus. So, you know, Civivi, great at making knives, great at designing and making knives. The names, maybe that's where they have to work on it.
Yeah, maybe not so much there. Yeah. All right. And Civivi is the budget line of Wee?
Yes.
All right.
And you know, as we were speaking with Stasa recently, he loves Civivi. So does Zell, frequent contributor to Thursday Night Knives. Zellrick 42 loves Civivi, and I guess I just have to get my hands on one. And this Asticus looks like the one I want to get my hands on.
Right.
That sounds funny.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I won't touch that one. I just caught that. Yeah. Okay. The Asticus.
The Asticus.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on quickly.
Yes.
Hey, moving from that, we'll go to Bone Daddy Blade Works. Let's talk about an axe-like product coming out from the new folks there.
That is how I'm describing it, looking at it. It's pretty cool. You know, it's grown on me just in looking at it. I haven't seen one of these. It's a new outfit called Bone Daddy Blade Works. It's a new design and knife making house doing small batch productions. And they got this knife like axe head or axe head like knife thing called the Axis, AXXIS. And it is very interesting. It is it looks like a pretty large chunk of steel, large in width, but it has been skeletonized massively, aggressively. And the surfaces are also treated in such a way that either grooves are cut out, very attractive grooves, or sort of dimple patterns, all these things to lighten up this strangely shaped knife thing. So it's a survival knife, but you can tie it to, you can lash it to a limb and make an axe out of it. So it's got a very sort of wedge-like geometry to it. And it's got a blade on the bottom where the beard of a traditional axe would be, and then a blade facing forward. So it looks kind of almost like a tanto or a Graham Razel, if you will, a fixed giant slab of Graham Razel. Anyway, this is a pretty neat looking thing, double-edged, as I said. It's D2, it's 5.3 inches of cutting edge, including both the beard blade side and the forward blade side. And you can use it as a knife. You can use it as an axe. And it's got kydex. It's a little heavy at 14.3 ounces. But like I said, it's an axe knife. So, right. It's going to be heavy.
It's a knife with a capital N.
It's on Kickstarter right now, and they're seeking funding. And they're looking, it's going to end by the 26th of March. They're looking for $55,000. Looks like a cool project, I got to say. Bone Daddy Blade Works. That's W-E-R-X.
So as Bob said, March 26th, kind of the end of the month. We'll keep an eye on that. Maybe put a note in our books to revisit that around that time to see how they did and see how it's going. One final story in Knife Life News we want to get to, and I always have trouble with this one. Essie knives?
Essie.
Okay, E-S-E-E. Okay. Yeah.
So they have an interesting line. Essie is known for their outdoor blades, bushcraft, camping, pretty hardcore outdoor survival and outdoor adventure blades. And they have a line called the Expat series. And Expat is actually the handle of someone on the Essie forums, who has been a contributor in a lot of different ways over the years, and including designs. So Essie started making a line of this gentleman Expat's designs. I'm assuming he's a gentleman, could be a woman, but in any case, they have this new one coming out, and it's half knife, half machete. It's sort of a short machete, large knife at 12.38 inches. And it's got a beautifully shaped, it looks like a spey blade, as they say on Knife News. But really, you look at this machete, it's got a drop point, almost looks like a clip point, and a long straight and a beautiful belly up towards that point. And it really does look like a large spey blade from a Stockman slip joint knife. Anyway, it's 0.094 thick, so you can use it for hefty jobs, but it's also pretty agile, apparently. It's made by a partner company of Essie's in El Salvador, which is kind of like Condor. Well, not kind of like Condor. That's where Condor is located, so that made me think of Condor immediately. 1075 with a convex grind, and I don't know if you remember this about me, Jim, but I love a convex grind.
I can't say that I remembered that, but I thank you for letting me know.
Oh, Jim, what has happened?
I got to get better on my grinds.
Yeah.
Step by step, Bob. I'll get there.
Well, the convex grinds are very robust because you can get them super, super sharp, but they're rounded right towards the tip. So you have sort of the performance of an axe or the stoutness of an axe, but you can get them incredibly keen too. Anyway, canvas micarta handles, canvas sheath, which I think is cool. That's kind of a throwback to sort of World War II era machetes. And I just think it's cool. Here's a person who's a total enthusiast for Essie knives. And they took on his designs, took him seriously, and he's got a whole line of knives with them now.
This must be the show for big knives with the Essie and the axe that you just talked about.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, maybe I need to get in with, I need to start haunting the Cold Steel forums and see if they'll make one of my crazy ideas. The pit fighting gauntlet, perhaps.
Perhaps. You never know till you ask. Yeah. What can they say? No?
Lynn Thompson, I'm sure, would come up with a great way to justify it.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
Back on the Knife Junkie podcast, it's time for the collection update from Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco. Where do you want to start? Bastinelli or Cold Steel?
Well, let's start with Cold Steel. I got that first, I guess.
Not alphabetical order.
No, and not in the order I gave it to you. But, you know, we're whimsical here, the Knife Junkie podcast. So I recently had an Amazon order, you know, as one does. And it was a bunch of very practical stuff. But I did notice that the Cold Steel Extra Large Luzon could be had for $38 at that moment. And a wave of justification hit me. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but it probably had to do with, I don't even know how I justified it. I just threw it on there. $38.
It's a leap year, Bob.
It's a leap year. That's a great one. That's a there great one. Thank you, man. I'm going to use that for the rest of the year.
That's it. You can.
This thing, this Luzon is a pretty cool knife, I got to say. It is one of the big ridiculous cold steel knives. So if that bores you, you know, you're going to have to suffer through this for just a moment, if you don't mind. But yeah, it is this very large, grivery handled beast. And I tell you, it's very strange to have a cold steel that is a liner lock. And this is a pretty robust liner lock. It is taking a little bit of time to break in. But I got to say, this thing is amazing. Now, if anyone is on the fence, if anyone who is a reasonable individual like myself and collects these giant cold steel knives, and you think, it's got 8 CR13 MOV, maybe I'll pass on this one. Well, brother, I get you. That's where I was for a couple of years now. But then it occurred to me, really, it doesn't matter what steel this has, because, you know, chances are I'm not going to really use it. I have a couple of other large cold steels I use for yard stuff. This won't get used that way. So if I ever need it, I'm quite sure the 8 CR13 MOV will do me just fine, because this is a big folding fighting knife, and I don't use those. So the cheaper steel, the softer steel is 100% acceptable, and it makes it a little bit more affordable.
Well, it sounds like a great price, and I'm glad we were able to help you justify it there.
Thank you. It's research.
You're more than welcome. That's right. There you go. Video, I am assuming, coming up on the YouTube channel at some point.
Yeah, because since I put up my video of cold steel folders, I've gotten two more, which was unexpected, but...
Gosh.
I know. No.
An updated collection video.
I know. An updated.
Right. All right. So we go from big knives, big axe, big cold steel, down to a little neck knife.
Yeah.
That's new in the collection.
Tiny, tiny neck knife. Inspired by my wife, who wanted to carry a karambit when she was running. Something she could just kind of grip in her fist and have looped over her finger. So that, you know, it can't be seen, but it's there and it's handy. And I loaned her my Fox 599 karambit, which is a relatively small karambit, and it wasn't doing it for her, a little too noticeable and big. And so I thought about Bastinelli. They have all these cool little knifey, sharp claw type things, tons of different beautiful karambits and fixed blade and folding knives that he designs. And so I got her this little, it's called the diagnostic neck knife. And what it is a two-finger karambit. And so far, I have found it not as easy on the ring finger coming out the bottom of my fist, but it feels great in hand on my, you know, flip-off, on my bird finger, if you will, and right. and gripped that way. This is a really interesting little knife. It reminds me of some of the little ring claws that Guru Danny Nosanto has brought to different seminars I've been to, where he shows all these really cool kind of covert traditional Filipino and Indonesian weapons. And they look kind of like this. They're like little animal claws that fit neatly into your hand, just in case you're jogging through the park and someone menaces you, you know. So, yeah, I got one for my wife, and I guess I had to get one for myself, because I didn't want to be hogging it from her, but I wanted to be able to review it and discuss it. So I had to have one for my own. So got one, and it's awesome.
I was going to say, so you're not hogging it.
I am not.
You actually got two.
But did you notice how I framed the conversation? It was about my wife and my wife's knife for jogging. But it also helped me out to do a little
I did notice that. Totally, I did. And I was going to ask you, if it was your wife's knife, why do you still have it in your hand? So I'm glad you clarified by saying you got a second one.
Okay, very good. This might be the new one to ride behind the old work ID. We'll see about that, though.
Oh, okay. And does she like it, or is it too early to tell? Has she had enough chance to use it?
She has not. They just arrived. So, but she's hefted it and likes the way it feels. And she's got small hands. It feels good in her small hands.
Very good. Collection update there from the Knife Junkie. We'll see how many more weeks we have multiple knives to talk about. If he can keep this pace going for a while, we'll wait till next week and see what's going on with the collection there.
Have a question, or maybe you just have a comment? Give us a call at 724-466-4487. We'll answer your question on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast. That number again, 724-466-4487.
All right, Knife Junkies, don't forget, we would love to hear from you, get your feedback, your comments, your questions, your thoughts. Give us a call on the listener line at 724-466-4487. 724-466-4487. And that's what the gentleman that we're going to play a message from did. He called the listener line, left us a message, unfortunately didn't leave his name or anything, so we, you know, can't give him credit or get back with him that way, but hopefully he's listening to the podcast. We wanted to play it and give the Knife Junkie a chance to comment on it. Kind of set it up, Bob. The call is about Strider knives and stolen valor.
A gentleman left a message complimenting the show. His tone was really, you know, very complimentary. It was a nice letter, but he was responding to my recent bloviating about my new Strider SMF and how excited I am about it, how much I love it. And he stated that it's very, very hard for him, or impossible for him, to support the work of people who he has problems with. I'll let him talk about it, and then I'll give you my initial reaction. But I have to say, I haven't thought 100% through how I feel about it. But I'm really happy this gentleman called in. And I like when there are actual things to talk about in this hobby, in this realm of enthusiasm, and not just look at this cool new knife. This is an interesting thing to ponder.
Well, let's listen to that, and then we'll come back and hear from the Knife Junkie.
Hey, what's up, guys? Enjoying the podcast. Just found it, and really good content that you guys have. Hey, man, just want to express my concerns with Strider in general. With the history of the company, especially Mick Strider, with Stolen Valor and being arrested for carjacking and all that nonsense, I just can't seem to support a company like that. And so just hoping that you would actually support people who truly served, who truly spoke honestly about what they did when they were serving. There's a lot of other knife companies out there that do that, man. So, again, great show, enjoying it very much, but I'm just out. No way would I support Strider knives in any way. All right, guys, take care.
All right, so Bob, we've heard the message. Your initial thoughts, your initial reaction.
Well, my initial feeling is this is obviously coming from someone to whom this is important, someone who served himself, maybe, or someone who has someone close who's serving. The point is, this obviously is coming from somewhere deep, and you know, everyone needs a code of ethics, but that code of ethics is oftentimes personalized by your own experiences and by, you know, how you were raised. From my perspective, this is my perspective. I came up as an artist and going to art school and pondering the behavior of many different artists and then contrasting that with their work. Caravaggio, one of my favorite painters of all time, you know, murdered someone and then got back in the good graces of the church by making a painting. And I always kind of thought, huh, that, you know, most beautiful paintings in the world, character You know, I'm not so sure about this guy's character. How does that make me feel about the art? It doesn't make me, it doesn't change my feeling about his paintings. And I flash forward to my favorite movie made by a man named Roman Polanski, who by all accounts is, you know, a bit of a scumbag. And but he made a great movie, and I love Chinatown. Does what Roman Polanski did change how I feel about Chinatown? It doesn't. And that's sometimes I think if I were more principled, maybe it would. But in this case, it does not. Maybe it's just not personal enough for me. So I hear what this gentleman is saying about Mick Strider and how and Strider Knives and why he can't support them. And I admire that and I respect that. It is not where I stand at the moment, and frankly, and to be totally honest, I'm not sure if that's due to an ethical stance or just because I absolutely love the knife and I'm willing to justify how I feel about it. Or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a phrase. One of my former bosses used to say, "Where you sit depends on where you stand." So, you know, you have your own perspectives, your own history, you know, whether you grew up in the military, maybe you have military family, military friends, you went to art school, so you understand art, the appreciation of art. It's all different. You have your own perspective. So to each his own. I like you. I admire and respect this gentleman's opinion. I admire and respect your opinion. You know, I appreciate him sharing the message and getting this conversation started. Yeah. And I would definitely like to invite listeners to give a call to the listener line and let us know their thoughts, kind of how it affects them or how they feel about it.
Yeah. And actually this raises up the whole reason for being this podcast. I set out to talk to all the people that I admire and respect and have something to say in the knife world. I've sent out a couple of invitations to Mick Strider. I'd love to have him on the show, not only to meet and talk to this very storied and accomplished legacy knife maker, but also I'd love to at least allow people to talk freely about their side of things. Who knows? Just an opportunity to have conversation and find out where everyone's coming from.
Well, and I want to expand or clarify on something you said. This podcast is not just to talk to the people you admire and respect and want to meet. It's to talk to anybody in the knife world, any different opinions, any different kind of things like that. Mm-hmm. It's like the show we did with Super Steel Steve. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the first to admit I'm not, my mind doesn't think steels and mathematics and chemistry and all that. So, and I think we had a comment, that says, after that show, it's like, interesting, the host and the co-host, don't like steals or can't talk steals, but yeah, they're the host of this podcast. Okay, fine. I respect that. It's just not one of my strengths, but it's still, we want to be able to talk to people in the knife world, regardless of where they're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. What I know could fill a thimble. I just know what I like.
Right. Right. Well, again, if you, have a thought or an opinion, we would love to hear from you. Keep the conversation going, 724-466-4487. And also join Bob on his Thursday Night Knives live video show. We have the opportunity for you to actually come on the show. If you have a webcam and a microphone, you can come on and talk to him, ask him a question, get some interchange going on there. And I want to plug this opportunity. Bob mentioned selling a few knives. On Thursday Night Knives, you're going to be able to have the opportunity to sell a knife. So if you have a knife you want to sell to raise some funds for Blade Show coming up, just come on Thursday Night Knives. We'll be more than happy to let you come on, show off your knife, talk about it, and try to sell it. No commission, no charge, just a service from the Knife Junkie to the knife community.
Subscribe to the Knife Junkie's YouTube channel at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube.
All right, Bob, back on the Knife Junkie podcast, our midweek episode number 91. Kind of as I thought, we had a lot to try to tackle, so we're not going to be able to run through all the list of knife shows, but March is the time where a lot of shows kind of start kicking back up into high gear, some hammer-ins coming on. We've got shows in North Carolina, Arkansas, Massachusetts, down in Georgia. So if you want to find all those events, go to see our friends at knifemagazine.com/events. and you can find a list of all the shows going on. Bob, as we wrap up, any final thought, something I hadn't asked you, something you want to talk about, or just kind of wrap it up?
No, I was just going to plug Thursday Night Knives tomorrow night. Definitely come check it out. I should have Zelric 42 tomorrow night on Thursday Night Knives, and come enjoy and be a part of the conversation.
All right. For Bob, the Knife Junkie DeMarco, I'm Jim, the Knife Newbie Person. Thanks so much for joining us on the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.